So welcome everybody. I'm here presenting Andreas Mundt, who will be talking about Debian Local Area Network. So welcome him. Thank you very much, Andreas.
Out. Let's have a look. We all say Debian is the universal operating system. What does universal mean? Of course, you can take this word on different areas, and it's a pretty universal word. I'm taking this word and use it for the number of machines you want to manage. And we know this works pretty well with individual machines, which you can install different kind of machines. You have the Debian installer. You prepare the machines, configure them, and it works fine. We all know that. Then there is another use of Debian in enterprises, big enterprises. We have several examples of this. And what you usually need to do that is an office of sysadmins. So you need to have people to care about the systems and to configure them, to install it. That's something done and something that works. And what Debian LAN wants to do is to help you if you want to do something in between. So if you have a local area network, not in a big enterprise, but maybe in a school or in a university work group where you have your take apart from the university network and really have it on your own, or in a small enterprise, startup, something like that, non-governmental organizations you want to support or associations, maybe in your home network for your family, just have centralized user management, backup system, and so on. Or you want to use prepare a test environment. Maybe for Debian, you want to test network authentication, NFS, or whatever, where you need several machines, where you need, it's not enough to test a single machine. And this is where Debian Local Area Network wants to help you with. Okay. So what Debian LAN tries to do is to complement Debian and make it possible or simplify it to install Debian in small or middle-sized environments. Okay, just an outline about my talk. I already showed you the introduction. I will then continue now with goals, challenges, and the status of the Debian Local Area Network project. I will show you how it is done and how it works. We have to look a bit more into details because Debian LAN uses PHY, and you need to have an idea about how PHY works. And then I close with a summary and conclusion. Okay, let's have a look at the goals and challenges, as well as of the status. I already said it, Debian LAN tries to help you setting up a local area network as easy as possible, only with software in Debian, and it tries to do this as flexible as possible. So what are the challenges? You want to have a simple installation, simple setup, and of course, maintenance and upgrade should be also as simple as possible. And with maintenance, it's not only the maintenance of the network after we've set it up, it's also the maintenance of this information you used to build this Debian Local Area Network. And it has to be updated for every Debian release, of course. And this needs also to be done in a way that is maintainable. Every network is slightly different from another one. So probably you want to change something in the setup. And these modifications, it should be possible to implement these modifications easily. And finally, it wants to use only Debian stable repositories and no extra packages. Okay, what's the status for the time being? There are two, network topologies Debian LAN supports. One is shown in the upper picture. You have a dedicated gateway and a main server. And then you have client machines. You can have a diskless client machine, a standard workstation, or a roaming machine. From the user experience, all these client machines are the same. But for diskless machines, you don't need to have a hard drive. It just mounts the file system from the main server. And for the roaming machine, you have caching of credentials. So after you've logged in, having the machine in this local area network, you can remove it from the network, take it at home, for example, laptop, and you can still log in. And you have two home directories which you might want to synchronize or something like that. Then there is a second network topology where the main server acts also as gateway. You need two interfaces in that system. And the firewall, which implemented in the gateway in the upper setting, is included in the main server in the lower setting. These machines, I've just wrote down a few attributes. The gateway has a firewall, thus masquerading. And then the main server, we have only one server and it provides all services. So most important are authentication, Kerberos, KDC. Then we have a directory service, LDAP. We have Kerberized NFS version 4 home directories, which are provided by the server. We have an internal email system and much more. I come to that later. Then on the clients, you can install every desktop environment you like. And you can, of course, install other packages. For example, if you're in a university mathematics workgroup, you can use the packages provided by the Debian blend of mathematics or biology or physics, whatever you need. Or if you're in a school, you want to provide educational software. And maybe if you're in a medical institution, you want from Debian the packages from Debian Med. And you can tune the workstations as you want. Then, as I said, the diskless workstations, same as normal workstations, and the roaming machines, as I said, they just cache the credentials. Okay, what services have been implemented on the main server? It provides DNS and DHCP. A Kerberos KDC is configured. Then I already said that LDAP. Home directories are distributed via Kerberized NFS4. We use GOSA for user management. GOSA is a tool used by the city of Munich to handle their infrastructure. So it's implemented here as well. Then Kerberized local email. So there is a EXIM configured and Dovecot. And you have every user can have his own homepage for the intranet. The system is monitored by Akinga and Munin. Disk quota is implemented. You just have to add the size you want to allow. Then there is a web proxy. a package cache. If you need to provide packages not in Debian, there is a pre-configured local app repository where you just drop a package, run a little script, and from then on it will be available on all machines. A firewall is implemented. Edgekeeper, just to see what your configurations, how they develop. System backup, and you can install the machines over the network. How this works, I will explain soon. And much more, or a few things more that are not so important. Okay, now we come to the next topic. How is it done? I want to explain how the Debian LAN installation works. And to understand that, you need a rough idea about how PHY works. And I will explain that, the class concept to you. And I will just show you the installation procedure, how that works. And then I focus on the Debian LAN system and how it's implemented there. OK, we start with a general question. You want to roll out this network with different machines. And so in the beginning, you ask yourself, what is needed to install an arbitrary machine? So that's what you need to know. And well, it's more or less when you run an installation, what the installer asks you. So in the beginning, it usually asks you how to prepare your disk, what partitions do you want to use or to create, and this is the first thing you need to know. Then you choose some packages. That's what's going to be available on that machine later. And finally, these packages have to be configured, or more generally, the whole system has to be configured, and there are two ways to do that. You can use depconf preceding, or if it's not implemented and for some configurations, it probably does not make sense to implement it as depconf configuration, you have to prepare, edit, manipulate configurations. And that's all information you need for every machine. And this has to be provided. And the more structured and flexible this information is provided, the more you can make use of. Because you have maintained this information, you want to modify it, you have to update it, things develop. So this information you need to provide in a well-structured and flexible way. And one possible way to do that is to use PHY, short for fully automatic installation. Just to get an idea, who of you has an idea about PHY? Okay, so maybe half of you. I will now just explain how it works. So you don't have to know the details, but you should have an idea about the general concept. So PHY uses classes. Just think of not complicated programming classes, but just like containers where you can drop actions or attributes in. And every host name is mapped on a set of classes. So this is important. Every machine is a member of a set of classes. And these classes define the complete setup of the machine. So we said in the slide before, we need to provide how we prepare the disks. This is defined in a class. We have to define which packages we want to use. This is also defined in a class, and then we have to run the configuration. And all this is available in these classes. And these classes are defined in a so-called Phi config space. And I just show you here a directory listing of such a config space, just the top level. It's just a directory structure with some files in it. And from the file name, the file name defines which class the file connects to. So when we start with the directory class, this is a directory which with some scripts which map the host name onto classes. There are also some variables defined there, which you can use when you do the installation. Then there is the directory depconf, and there you can populate the depconf database with preceding, and you can do this for every class you want in a different way. And then we have the disconfig. That's where I started the slide before. We have to provide some information about how we want to partition our hard disk. That's in the disconfig directory. Then we may want to drop some files on the system. We can put them in the files directory. We want to run hooks during the installation. Then we can drop these hooks in the hooks directory. Package config, in this directory for every class, there is a file that lists all packages that have to be installed on a machine, which is a member of this class. Then we need, in some cases, to run a script or scripts to configure the system in detail. That's in the scripts directory. And finally, that's more or less something we don't have to care about because Phi cares about it, are the tests. So at the end of the installation, you can run tests and check if everything worked as you wanted or whatever. Okay, just an example to make that a bit more clearer. I said we have a gateway host, and this gateway is associated with the following classes. There's the class Phibase, Debian, DHCPC, firewall, and gateway A. And so what do these classes mean? Phibase is just a basic class which every host usually is a member of. It just does the basic stuff on the machine, what you usually need always. Debian is a class where all Debian-specific basic stuff is done. DHCPC means you want to have this machine access as a DHCP client. And then firewall, that's where we set up the firewall thing. And gateway A, that's a class which separates machine-specific stuff from the firewall. So you have the firewall class is used to be useful on every machine you want to have a firewall on. And then maybe in this specific setup, there's a special configuration, you put that into the gateway, okay? And all packages defined in these classes will be installed and configured accordingly. If we want to look a bit more into detail of the firewall class, for example, we can look in our config space and look for the file name firewall, and we see there are two occurrences of firewall. There is config package config firewall, so this is where the packages are defined you want to use on that machine as firewall, and then you need to configure that firewall. That's done in the scripts. And if you look into these files, you will see that the package shawval will be installed, and you have to provide some configuration for that package, which is done in the scripts firewall. Okay, Phi allows to install the machines. It works in the following way. You boot a Phi live system from CD, from USB stick, or over the network via PXE. And then you mount the Phi config space, so just the directory structure I just showed you. You mount that on the machine. You can use NFS there as default, or even connect to a Git repository, or there's a huge amount of things. You just need to get the information to the local host. And then you map the host name to its classes, and then the machine is depending on its classes and is going to be installed. So first it's starting to partition the local hard drive. Then it configures the packages, or it precedes the debconf database. Then it installs all packages. And it configures the target system. It runs the scripts. And after you boot from the local hard disk, your host is set up exactly as you wanted it. You have another mode which Phi can run as. That's the soft update mode. You can run it on an already installed machine, and it will do almost the same as above, but it will skip the partitioning of the hard drive, fortunately. But apart from that, it's more or less the same. Of course, you can make in your scripts a decision if you want to run parts of your script only if you're in the install mode, or only if you're in the soft update mode. So this two modes are important for Debian LAN. I will now focus how we use, or I use, Phi to install the Debian LAN system. What Debian LAN does, it just provides this complete Phi config space for the networks I explained earlier. And to get started, to roll out such a network, you have two possibilities. You can just prepare such a Phi CD yourself. This Phi CD contains the configuration space. It's like a net install CD. And if you prepare this CD yourself, if you already want to make modifications to your setup, you can put this into your configuration space before you build the CD. After that, you have a customized CD, net install CD, where you can immediately install your main server exactly like you wanted it. Or there's an alternative way where we use the Phi soft update. So with this method, you install a minimal Debian installation with the Debian installer, for example, as few packages as possible, and you just install Phi and it's four or three commands. You just install Phi, and then you run, you name the host main server, and you run the Phi soft update, and it will convert this minimal installation into a Debian LAN main server. After you've installed the main server, you've mostly done. All other machines you can boot over the network and install over the network. When you take an unknown machine, a machine unknown to the network, plug it in and boot it over the network, you get the following installer. So it looks like the usual Debian installer. In fact, it is a Debian installer which you can boot. You can boot just standard Debian PXE installer. But additionally, you can run a Debian LAN live system. So this system does not touch your hardware at all. For example, if you want people bring their own laptop to your network, you can they can just boot via PXE, and they have the standard system available on their own machine. You can also install a roaming machine. Just have to choose the point in the menu, and that's all so far. If the machine is known to the network, which means that it its MAC address is, you add the MAC address to the DHCP server, then immediately after you boot from the network, it will be start the PHY installation. Those of you which have run a PHY installation, that's how it looks like, and just you don't have to do anything, like fully automatic means. So after some minutes, your machine will be set up and included into the network and run out of the box. Okay, I want to go a bit more into detail about these PHY classes that are prepared by Debian LAN, because that's of course the heart of the whole system. So the main server maps onto the following classes. We already learned a bit about PHY base, Debian, and then there is the PHY server class. It includes all that is needed to make the machine a server which can provide the TFTP environment to boot other machines over the network from this server and to install then from that server. Then there is the class LVM8A. That's just a short name for the partitioning. So it defines the partitioning. It means something like local volume manager, and the number of partitions is 8. And if you want to just to have an idea when you just read it, how exactly the setup is done, you have to look into that class. Then it's a member of the diskless server class. So anything that is needed to set up the provision of diskless machines is implemented in that class. Firewall class, we already had it. It's a CUP server, so the printing is configured there. It collects all logs from the network. It acts as a proxy. It provides network time protocol to the network. It's implemented in the NTP server class. It's a DNS server, network file system server, mail server. It's an LDAP client, as well as an LDAP server to the network. It's a Kerberos client. It provides the Kerberos KDC. Then there is the KDC uses LDAP as a database. And this is implemented in the KDC LDAP class. And then, of course, these classes are not completely independent, so there need to be a server server A class, which does all the stuff that can't be associated with one of these classes, and finally GOSA, which integrates the graphical user interface for managing the system. We can take a look at the workstations. That's of course much simpler. What is new there? We are a CUPS client, a log client, LDAP client, NFS client, Kerberos client. New is Xorg and the desktop class, which defines, okay, I want to have XFCE or GNOME or whatever on my system. What is the philosophy behind these PHY classes? From the class names, it became clear that for every service, for every feature, there has been implemented, it has been tried to implement it as a separate class. And only non-specific modifications, which cannot be associated with one individual features or which sort of connect to features, they have tried to put it, be put in the server class or client class. And you can easily extend this class space. You can just add, for example, a class edu if you want to provide a school with software. In fact, this class is already available in the Debian-LAN config space, which says, OK, on my desktop machine, I want to have this educational software as well. Or if you're a developer, you need some development software, put that in the devil class, or the localization you can put in the German or French-Belgian class or whatever. And yeah, it's completely easily to modify and extend it without touching the original system. So you have added your class. If it works, if it doesn't work anymore after you've added that class, it's clear what to do, that something in your class went wrong. So you can always easily go back. Just do not map your host on your new class. And if things work again, you know that something with your class is wrong and has to be fixed. And this leads to a very nice development and maintenance features. For example, if my network time protocol setup doesn't work anymore, I just have to look in this class, either on the server where I set up the NTP server or on the clients. It's pretty clear in this config space where you have to look for a fix. Okay, and this is because of this complex system, which every component is not so complicated, but all in all, a network easily gets pretty complicated. But with this structured setup, I made the experience that it's really easy to add features and to debug features. There are also the PHY internal debug features help, because you get logs for every installation of packages, for every script. You see if it worked or if it the script failed. And if you do this in a careful way, you have really a very good setup, which works pretty nice so far. Then with these classes, you get sort of a modular system. You can take these modules and, for example, I will show an example later. If you want to have two machines or different setups, you can take part of the classes and get rid of others. And as I already said, it's easy to extend the system. Okay, just an example how you can reuse these classes. For example, if you have this gateway set up, you might want to include a proxy there. So it's easy to be done by just moving the proxy class to the gateway. And then you have to check if you need to adapt the server A and the gateway A class to make it work again. Of course, it changes a bit, but you already have a rough idea what to do. Or another example is if you want to split that on two servers, you just add the new machine to your mapping, which does the mapping from the host name to the classes. And you map all classes you want to move from one machine to the other. You remove it from the one machine, the classes, and add it to the other machine. And after that, you fine-tune the setup by adapting the server B, and you have a server. You need to create a server B class then, and you need to make it work again. Okay, I'm coming to more or less to the end now, so we have time for questions. But first, I want to give you here's a list of resources where you find more information about the project and the system. I use the Debian LAN wiki. There is now a package available, and it just made it to backports. So the system is always targeted at the stable Debian release. And yeah, you can fetch the config space from this backports package and just take a look at the user share doc Debian LAN config readme. And there it's described how you set it up. It's pretty easy. It's just a few commands. And we have a Git repository where all the work is done and a mailing list. So if you run into problems or if everything works great, please report to the mailing list. And so far, I can sum up and conclude that Debian LAN provides a way to install a complete Debian-based network out of the box, including Kerberized services, central user management, diskless clients, and roaming machines. I use Phi to set up that system and to install the machines. In my experience, this works pretty nice, very transparent, very flexible, very clean. And you are invited to provide additional classes if you want to make it work different from what it's done right now. Maybe it does already work. It would be fine, of course, as well. And so if you plan to install a system of that kind, then I would be happy to, if you would consider and give Debian LAN a try. And that's so far everything. Thank you very much for your attention. And I think we have some time for questions.
Wait for the microphone to work.
Hello, it's not exactly a question. It's about the system of classes. A few days ago, Martin Kraft, alias Matt Duck, provided a conference about a tool he called Reclass, which is about externalizing all this class system with inheritance. And it looks like exactly, and this his idea of this tool is to manage your data and describe it, and in the end, a specific tool such as Phi or anything else would apply that. So I feel it's a nice split, and maybe someday Phi would use it. But I wanted to tell you about.
Okay, thank you. I have to look at that.
I have a comment about this. I guess FAI is mostly about installing the thing and bringing up the machine. And I guess the other tool is mostly about managing an already installed machine and making changes to it. This is my point of view on that.
Okay.
I feel more it's about describing, and some other tool will apply it.
One question. You have a lot of Phi classes, so I think maybe nearly 25 classes. I think that it's a very good idea to have a lot of classes to be very flexible. But for example, in a school environment, I think the teacher who is also the admin of a Debian LAN system does not like to adjust the classes, but he likes to have a tool to say, I have two new machines. I want to say this machine is a workstation, a diskless or a roaming machine. Do you also have some tools that make it very easy for a teacher admin to add new machines, or does he have to edit the DHCP config, the DNS config, or are you using Goza for this, that he just clicks on three buttons and then he can add new machines to his LAN?
I try to keep as much as possible off Goza. So I only have the user management. So the things that changes quite often or more often after you've set up the network, only this is done in Gosa. If you want to add a machine, I prepared a script where you can just give the command Debian LAN add to DHCP, and I think then you have to switch on the machine you want to add and switch all others off, and it checks in the ARP cache for the MAC address, and you can choose if you want to install that machine as a diskless machine or workstation. And if you've done that, the script adds the MAC address to the DHCP configuration, and it to the DNS system it's transferred via dynamic setup. So the MAC address is only if you want to change that you it's only in this one point, and then so it's not graphical, but it's pretty simple, and yeah, I hope it's always a trade-off. What you implement has to be maintained.
Yeah, and it's great because I was waiting for such a script for a long time, and I never had the time to write it by my own. So now I know there's this script for a very simple setup, add a new machine to a file configuration. Thank you very much for the script. I will look at it.
Yeah, but I have been using Gosa for pretty long while, so it might have been much improved since then, but already at the time I used it, it made adding a machine to Gosa's database and defining what the machine should do really, really easy without having the need to like turn off everything else and just turn up the machines I have to have a clean op cache. So why exactly did you keep the integration with Gosa to a minimum? Because I mean, it's got tools to administrate the mail server, printers, clients, everything.
I got the impression that it's not supported that more upstream, and I had problems with, for example, the Kerberized stuff, because I have to provide the key tab to the machine and things like that, and it's not. The Gosa people did it with some agent thing, but it never made it into Debian. And whenever I ask them about this service which cares about this Kerberization stuff, they said, it was sometimes working, sometimes not, and it's not the quality they really want to make a package of. And so after all this happening, and if you look at the upstream repository of Gosa, and then there was this fork, so I don't want to depend on it too much. And you can also switch off this Gosa class. So if you say, okay, I'm managing my users, I'm using, there is a package in Debian, it's called LDAP scripts, where you can add users to LDAP. And you can use that without Gosa, just to I think there's even a little script provided by Debian LAN which you prepare a list of users, just first name, second name, and you send this script to the list to the script, and it just takes the name and creates a username and creates all users in one batch. So if you're a bit familiar with command line, and I think in the end you have to be that if you really want to run a Linux network, then it should work. And maybe if there are demands or wishes for better tools, we can think about it. But it's always someone has to do the work. So it's now done that it works fine for me. Everybody's welcome to contribute, and well, we will see what it evolves into.
Time over. Thank you very much, Andreas, again. And the next talk will be in a quarter of hour. I don't really remember about what.